Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
Good afternoon, Jeff Quattromani. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Well, I have a couple of questions for you. Hi, Jeff. I accidentally put my AirPods into the washing machine. I've been there, done that. But they still work. Is this normal or should I expect them to stop working soon?
I would be counting your blessings on one hand, but at the same time, I'd probably be counting some spare pennies when you get them because there's a good chance that they won't be working for too much longer. But you may just get lucky. It could be 6 months, it could be 12 months, or it could be 12 minutes. It's one of those things. Even with smartphones, when they get wet, sometimes they just continue to do well, but sometimes they don't. So
I did that. Put them in the took them out of the ears after exercising and put them in the shorts pocket and forgot all about them. Put them through the washing machine. They went through the dryer as well. They went through the dryer. I realised. Then I thought, oh my goodness, they're still working.
Even now, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, look,
still working.
You can get lucky.
Keith sent that in, so there you go, Keith. It's who knows? I suppose is the answer to that question.
Yeah, exactly.
My daughter is set to do a month of travelling around Australia in October, and she's talking about how she would like to get a drone to document her travels. I thought I would gift her one, but I'm not sure what I'm looking for. Jeff, please, can you help? From Diane.
Yeah, look, I mean, a drone is an amazing way to see where you're travelling in a totally different view. From DJI is where you're going to find the most success. They have some of the best drones, not because of how far they can fly and things like that, but because of the cameras that are on board, and meaning you're going to get good photos and videos. You should, however, be probably budgeting almost around that $2,000 mark, so it's not a cheap gift. But yes, I mean, it's obviously a really good camera inside a piece of machinery, so it does have that pretty expensive cost associated.
How big are those drones that Amazon have that actually they're looking at delivering parcels with? They must be obviously a lot bigger than the drone that Diane would be looking at buying her daughter.
Yeah, absolutely. So the ones that from DJI that you can fly as a hobby, they almost fold up and fit into your backpack. I've traveled with them before, but the ones that they use for product deliveries, they're almost the size of a wheelbarrow, to be honest. It's the same sort of width and length as a wheelbarrow. So, yeah, pretty big and very noisy. So you certainly know when a drone delivery is coming.
Okay. Australians are still using a TPG or iNet email address. Apparently you need to move on to other email providers or face usage charges.
Yeah, this has been, I guess, probably expected news, because when the internet first came to Australia, a lot of people signed up with a provider, whether it was TPG, Optus, or Telstra, and they also got an email address as part of that. A lot of people probably still have a BigPond account or a TPG one. Now, what we're seeing is internet providers like TPG and iiNet have said they're going to start charging their customers to retain those email accounts and to keep using them. So my advice is a couple of things. One, you shouldn't have an internet provided email address, because it kind of keeps you stuck to that internet provider in the first place. Because if you change providers, you lose that email account. But I would recommend people start considering a Gmail, a Hotmail, or even an Outlook email address. They're free. They're not tied to an internet provider. And that way you can start to make that migration, because paying for email probably doesn't make sense to me.
Or if you like, you can go down the Apple road, and I think you can get yourself an iCloud email. Do they charge you for those email addresses these days?
No, they don't charge you. It all comes down to storage. So after you've received plenty of emails, they might start saying either delete some email or we're going to charge you for cloud storage.
New research has shown that hackers could steal your passwords by listening to the sound of you typing on your keyboard. What?
I mean, listen to this. I don't know if you can hear me typing, but if you can, you've just deciphered my password. This is the kind of skills that we're now seeing come out of artificial intelligence, where they're able to use the sound of a keyboard. Apparently, when you type on your keyboard, there are slight differences in how pressing the P key compared to the O key does sound audibly. So with that, they say that they've got a 93% success rate of hearing your password. So if you're on a phone call, on a Zoom meeting, if you are logging into your bank while you're doing that, there's a chance that if someone's listening, they could decipher what you're typing.
But if you're on a phone call, your keypad would make no sound.
It just depends how viciously you type, I think, because, I mean, it's not easy for phones to pick up the sound of a keyboard, but I guess if your audio is good enough, then maybe it would. So, yeah, it's just very surprising that this is now a way of cracking into somebody's account.
So can people download viruses or things, whatever they call them, to your computer that would do this and you not know about it?
No, so generally you can still get viruses where that does pay attention to the keys that you're typing on, and a lot of people lose their passwords that way. But this is a whole new measure where if you're on the phone with a scammer, and maybe the scammer says to you, hey, well, while I've got you on the phone, log into your bank, don't worry, don't tell me your password.
Gotcha.
You log into the bank while I've got you, and imagine if while you're doing that, they're actually able to understand what you're typing through audio. That would be the scary part here.
Holy smokes, it just gets worse, doesn't it?
It really does. So it used to be covering up your fingers while you're typing in your PIN at the teller machine. Now it's going to be put people on mute while you type in your password as well.
A portable television is on its way, potentially changing camping trips forever.
Yeah, I don't know how much I want a TV when I do go camping, but if you're somebody who didn't want to miss the Matildas game, for example, on the weekend and you were camping, LG will have a 27-inch full high-definition touchscreen that folds into a suitcase with speakers and a three-hour battery. So coming in at around $1,000 when it comes to Australia, it could be that perfect camping accessory, or in my view, it could ruin the mood.
Well, if you're on the road these days, you can get this mobile internet through SpaceX or through, Elon Musk, and you can have a caravan, or it can be in a camper van or something like that, and you're able to, watch Netflix and Stan and whatever, stream movies and all these sort of things. That's available now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing. I think the message here is anything's possible, whether you want it to be or not. And, whether it's having internet wherever you are, that's now been done. Even power, we're seeing huge batteries now coming with caravans and the ability to take almost anything you like on that camping trip. So, yeah, anything's possible.
Google is working on using artificial intelligence to be the virtual life coach we all need for advice and guidance. You get up of a morning and you ask your computer, what do I need to do today to better myself?
It could be that, or it could be, look, I've got a tough meeting coming up. How should I approach this one differently? I need to break up with my girlfriend. How do I do it in the nicest possible way?
Texter.
I mean, who knows what the question could be, but Google thinks they're going to create a life coach that you can rely upon. Personally, I don't know how much I would be relying on Google to give me life advice. I mean, certainly for a search engine, but to give me tips on my career and how to navigate my life, maybe not so much.
A new sleep mask is coming to Australia, aiming to help you get to sleep and wake up gently.
I mean, there are a lot of people out there who do use sleep masks, and there's a new one coming from Aura, where this one actually has speakers built in to play, relaxing soundscapes to help put you to sleep and completely block your vision from any ambient light. But inside the sleep mask as well, there's also some lights that can help bring you away from sleep and actually wake you up in the morning with a gentle sunrise lights coming through or something like that, and also just some, again, additional sounds. If you're comfortable wearing a sleep mask to sleep, then maybe this is one that you will use.
I suppose it's something, if you are a sleep mask wearer, it's something you probably have to get used to.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes the pro version of a sleep mask. This one, it's certainly not just a piece of padding over your eyes. It's a lot more than that. And it comes with a high cost, around $300 when it comes to Australia.
Jeff, how often, we were talking about passwords, how often should I change my passwords?
Look, if you want to be really well behaved, I would say you do it whenever it's daylight savings. If you do it once a year, when you wind the clocks back and you change the battery on your smoke alarm, probably a good time to change some passwords as well. But the biggest thing actually is just making sure you've got two-factor authentication set up, because that means that even if you did know my password, you can't get in unless you've got my phone as well.
The trouble is, everyone wants a password for something these days. When are they going to come up with something easier than needing to remember 100 or whatever passwords?
My tip is have a very strong password, which only you would know, but at the end of that password, put the name of the service that you're logging into. That way you've got a unique password for everything that you are logging into, but it's very easy to remember. So whatever your password is, and on the back of it, it's Facebook, or on the back of it, it's email or bank or something like that, it makes it so much easier. It's something that I do as a practice, and it makes your password very long and hard to crack.
What a great idea. So you have the same password for everything, but the difference is you put Optus, or you put Telstra, or you put Facebook, yes, or you put something else on the end of that password.
Yep, and you've just made your password probably twice as long and much more complicated. Brilliant. But at least you know a way around
That's a great idea. Well done. Thank you, Jeff. It's always a delight catching up with you. We will see you next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.